Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Investigators in Southeast Kentucky say there was an argument between a judge in Whitesburg and the county sheriff before they say the sheriff shot the judge dead.
Letcher County, Kentucky Sheriff Sean Steins, who is known as Mickey Steins, is now under arrest. The county sheriff is accused of shooting and killing District Court Judge Kevin Mullins in his court chambers during an argument. Mullins had reportedly been involved in at least one case in which claims were made against Steins and his sheriff's department. Judge Mullins died in his chambers. Sheriff Steins is now charged with first-degree murder. Alex Stone, ABC News.
76-year-old Panos Anastasiou in custody in Anchorage after a federal grand jury indicted him on charges of sending graphic threats to hurt and kill six sitting Supreme Court justices. Officials in Pawnee, Oklahoma say at least one person was killed when late summer severe weather hit. Lots of damage reported. This is ABC News. From where did COVID come?
Scientists researching the origins of COVID-19 have identified a list of animals that possibly spread COVID to humans. Researchers analyzed genetic material gathered from the Chinese market in Wuhan, where the first outbreak was detected, and found the most likely animals spreading COVID were raccoon dogs, civet cats, and bamboo rats. The scientists suspect the infected animals were first brought to the Wuhan market in late November 2019 and somehow infected the first humans, which then triggered the pandemic. Derek Dennis, ABC News.
240 incidents and over a dozen injuries, spurring a bed recall.
Nearly 138,000 platform beds sold at major retailers, including Amazon and Walmart, are being recalled across the U.S. and Canada. People can fall and get hurt because the beds can sag, break, or collapse, say the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission and Health Canada. The brand is Lucid, and its Utah-based importer, CVB, is recalling the beds.
I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103.
Yes.
Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, WGBW.fm. From the lakeshore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Safe communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you, and highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live.
Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Friday is an important day in court for Robert F. Kennedy. He's trying to get off the Wisconsin ballot. The Elections Commission and previous courts have ruled that under state law, the only way for non-party candidates to be removed is to die. Friday, Kennedy's team and the Wisconsin Elections Commission will file briefs with their arguments in the 2nd District Court of Appeals. Kennedy is trying to get his name off the ballot so his supporters are more likely to vote for former President Donald Trump. In an act of bravery, a 12-year-old boy saved his dad from a bear attack here in Wisconsin. Ryan Bierman and his son Owen were up near Siren, a village in Burnett County. They were hunting and had shot the bear from a tree stand. When they went down to track it, the bear spotted Ryan and charged him. Thinking quickly, 12-year-old Owen grabbed his gun and shot the bear, killing it and saving his dad's life. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
Jordan Love might be ready to play this week. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. It seems all anyone can focus on is the quarterback situation in Green Bay. Jordan Love was hurt in the season opener, but he might be available to play this Sunday. Love said he doesn't know if he'll play Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of boxes, obviously. I think getting back to practice and doing that and just, you know, feeling what it feels like to take those drops, be in the live fire, things like that. But, you know, like I said, we're taking day by day. The trainer's doing a great job kind of monitoring me, seeing how I'm doing and how I'm reacting to everything.
If Love can't go, Malik Willis will get his second start. His former team, the Tennessee Titans, hosts the Packers Sunday at noon. The NL Central champion Milwaukee Brewers lost Thursday 5-1 to the Arizona Diamondbacks. The loss puts the Brewers 3 games back of the National League's best record. Same 2 teams tonight in Milwaukee. Wisconsin basketball, both men's and women's, announced their conference schedules on Thursday. You can see them at uwbadgers.com. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some showers and storms in the overnight. Temperatures dropping to the mid-60s by daybreak. Our winds will be light out of the south. On your Friday, some early morning showers and storms, then eventually sunny skies developing. Highs in the upper 70s to lower 80s. It's 66 at our studios.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the author and our colleague of the Recombobulation Area, Dan Schaefer, joins us at 10:33. Hour number 2, an update on the Racing Sausage Lego set. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome, to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join us, you can call, you can text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We have a jam-packed show coming up today. Dr. Kristen Lierley, friend of the show, also congressional candidate for the 8th Congressional District. He's going to be joining us at 10:33. Mm-hmm. We were talking yesterday about J.D. Vance in Wisconsin. He was in Eau Claire this week, talking about the closure of the hospitals there in western Wisconsin and essentially blaming it all on immigrants.
Yes.
Dr. Lierley, I believe, has had some experience working at various hospitals, and she has opinions about this.
Absolutely.
So she will be joining us coming up at 10:33. Weather and Wine with Brittany Merlot in the second hour at 11:20. Get a little update on the forecast and see if we're ever going to get any rain and when it's actually going to start feeling like fall as opposed to the middle of summer. Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Radcliffe at 11:33. All things sports balls. Good news for Brewers fans.
Mm.
You must have been pretty excited.
Thank you, Cubs.
Yeah,
thank
really.
You, Chicago Cubs.
Oh, and Craig Council just getting trolled so hard.
I'm not down for the trolling. That's a different conversation. But
I know. I still think he's a nice man. And 11:50 now, we close out the show every day with a new segment we're calling This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Mm-hmm. If you ever have a suggestion for your own This Shouldn't Be a Thing, send it in to Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Also the same email if you have a guest suggestion, a topic you would like us to cover, something going on in your community that you think needs some attention.
A question for Dr. Hanks for public service
announcement.
Absolutely.
Send them all to Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Of course, our Go for the Green and Gold statewide text to win contest picks up next hour. We will have the word for you that you need to text in via the Civic Media app. And then you're in the running for either $100 or some gold jewelry. Everyone in the running for a pair of tickets to see the Green and Gold take on New Orleans December 23rd.
Yeah.
So that is all coming up next hour. We also have our ongoing poll going on.
Yes.
For the new Matinair on Air mascot, courtesy of Scott from Shorewood.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of his has a 3D printer, and they were playing around with it and came up with this. It's a little mash of Elon Musk,
yeah,
and Jabba the Hutt.
I would say if we're going percentages, Jane, I would say this is 80 to 90% Jabba.
Yeah.
5 to 10 Elon.
But it fits.
Oh, totally.
You know, it fits. So you can vote on what his nickname should be. I personally, I'm leaning toward Jabba the Musk.
Yeah.
I just think it kind of flows off the tongue.
Yeah, and I like Elon the Hutt.
Which is fine.
Which is fine. They're both fine.
Calvin, do you have a preference?
Or do you have one yourself?
Yeah, maybe you have a different one.
I don't have an original one. I have to say I lean a little towards Greg's side.
Okay.
That's all right.
But right now,
you're wrong. But
nothing but class to the end, folks. Now, you can go to social media. We are, the show is on Facebook. It is on Instagram. It is also on Twitter, which we always will call it Twitter here. It's MATENAER, yes. On air. If you want to vote in the actual poll itself, it's on Twitter.
Okay.
If you just want to go to the post in Instagram or Facebook, you can put your suggestions there as well. We're going to take all that information, put it through some very scientific tabulations.
Oh, yes. Incredibly rigorous.
The Civic Media polling department here is going to be working overtime to help us crunch the numbers on this one, and we will debut the official name tomorrow.
So get your votes in today.
Get your votes in today. Follow us on social media. Tell your friends about it. Have them vote. And, you know, good luck.
Good luck. And if you have a different one,
you can definitely put in the comments.
Yeah, put that in the comments as well. We're happy to hear your suggestions for what we should call the new Matinee on Air mascot. All right, we're going to start off with what we're calling Maybe You Should Read the Room.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Tuesday evening. MPS plan to present a proposal meant to give four administrators salaries some big hikes. This suggestion that these four administrators need a raise comes at the same time as MPS is having some major money problems. They have multiple state audits underway. Mm-hmm. This was not necessarily met with a lot of warmth.
This was following also the vote to push through the $272 million bond for MPS. And it won, which I'm not going to lie, I was surprised. I thought that people were not going to go for this. And when it went through, I was like, oh, yes. And then with what, in
a week?
2 weeks?
Yeah.
There was like, oh, there's been some problems with the financials. And now this?
Now this. Yeah, it's unclear, again, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, why MPS rescinded those proposed salary increases. In an email, the district declined to provide further details. Originally, the committee approved including raising salaries for four administrators to $200,000 each.
Yeah.
Those are the chief of staff, the interim chief school administration officer, chief human resources officer, and chief academic officer. Right now, they're making $193,692.67 a year. That seems like a pretty good salary to me.
That is more. All of them make more than the mayor of the city of Milwaukee. By, like, what did you say,
$194,000?
$193,000. That is $27,000 more than what the mayor makes.
And granted, we think education's really important.
Yes,
it is really important. Our public schools are really, really important. But I guess if you're going to start doling out raises, maybe give it to some teachers.
Or programs or some. I mean, yes, teachers definitely.
But give a little more money to the people who actually do the job in the classroom every day. Yeah. Not that administrators aren't important, but if you're not getting by on $193,000, come talk to us.
Yeah,
we'll help you set up a budget.
Hey. Why not give $7,000 raises to each of your assistants or people who work in your? This really flares up the grits on this one too.
This spring news broke. The district was months late in submitting required financial information to the state, along with calls for audits by the governor and state lawmakers. There are questions over mismanaged finances. By now, former Superintendent Keith Posley, Chief Financial Officer Martha Kreitzman, and Comptroller Alfredo Balmaceda. A group called the MPS School Board Recall Collaborative tried to recall four school board members after this news came out, but the Milwaukee Election Commission found they didn't collect enough valid signatures. One of the organizers of the recall, Tamika Johnson, she said, "This is a prime example of fiscal irresponsibility in MPS. Quote, it was a good thing they took it off the agenda, but I want to know, is it off the table, period? Mm-hmm. Why are we constantly giving raises to people who are failing our children?" Unquote. Read the room, folks. And on what when you're sitting in your closed office and you guys are kicking this idea around, nobody raised a hand and said, this might look bad.
What are the optics on a $7,000 raise on a $193,000 a year job that isn't even like the head of, like, it's the chief of staff? That's the person in charge. That's the person who answers to the boss.
Right.
So, yeah. And I look, and also just really quick, the only reason why they make less than 30 grand more than the mayor is because the mayor got a 15% increase this year. So they made nearly $50,000 each more than the mayor of the city. This is ridiculous. They shouldn't be making that much. $193,000. Prove it. Why?
It's a lot of money. For a district that has had a bunch of issues. And again, we're supporters of public schools. I have so much respect for teachers. I could never be a teacher. I'm amazed that people go into it because they love it and recognize the importance of good teachers. So you want to hand out some raises, maybe start there.
Yeah.
Instead of giving them to administrators. I just don't get it.
Just a four at least. Like that's
just four of them.
Yeah. That seemed definitely like a backroom thing. Like, what if we, Jane?
Let's just try it and see what happens.
Puffing on.
Let's throw it out there.
Let's give ourselves a raise.
But that's like the city officials who just got, what, a $13,000 raise?
Yeah.
Those three positions could essentially be combined into one job.
And still be part-time.
Right.
Yeah.
855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Tom from West Allis joins us. Good morning, Tom. What do you think about this?
Hey, good morning. My question about this whole MPS thing is, from what I heard, they have a $1.5 billion budget, whereas the city of Milwaukee has a $1.4 billion budget. I don't know that MPS also took care of sewerage and police and fire and road maintenance. And how can they possibly have a bigger budget than the city?
I don't
know. Or the county, whichever it is.
That's interesting, Tom. Greg is checking on some of those numbers because I can't, I don't have those in front of me, Greg.
The Milwaukee Public School MPS budget for 2024-2025 fiscal year is $1.5 billion. I don't understand that. $1.5 billion?
That's a lot of money. Hey, Tom. Say again?
Yes, that's too much money. I was going to say, I'll look up the city of Milwaukee and see what their budget is. Because I hear it's less than what MPS, and I don't understand where all that money is going. I am all for educating students. I am all for public schools, but this is ridiculous. There's no way. And then they get a $200 million referendum passed.
Yep.
Where did that money go to?
Yeah, people are ticked, and that's why too, Tom. It's like, what were you thinking, you guys, when you were kicking this idea? Let's just bring it up and no one's going to pay attention to this. It's all going to be fine. Let's give ourselves a nice little boost.
Yeah. City of Milwaukee is $1.9 billion. MPS is $1.5.
Wow. Thank you so much, Tom, for bringing that to our attention. Really appreciate it. And as you said, we're public school supporters.
Yes.
I want to see them succeed. This isn't helping.
No.
It's just not. We're going to keep talking about money, some good money news that's on the way. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Vast Global Civic Media Radio Network.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Hi, this is Jim Schmidt, your former mayor of Green Bay. You know, I've always cared about local issues. I still do. Join me on my new show, Lean Local, here on WGBW. I'll interview community leaders and elected officials, discuss the economy and development projects, and we'll talk about the future of education here in Greater Green Bay. As they say, all politics is local. So join me for Lean Local, Sunday at 1 p.m.
on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 WGBW.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
From the lakeshore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Safe communities and friends.
We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you, and highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live.
Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app.
Mino and the mayor. It happened this morning.
Again.
You guys walked in, and I didn't notice, but right away, Jim noticed you both were wearing shirts that were very similar. Jim had a salmon shirt on, and yours is a little bit more to the red side.
A little more burgundy-ish.
Yep.
Rose.
Yep.
Rose, yeah.
And so Jim actually changed his shirt.
Yes. I'm like, I'm changing.
Mino and the mayor, weekday morning 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, and Sweet Kelby on the board. You can always join us. Call or text, same number. 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Dr. Kristen Lyerly, candidate for the 8th Congressional District in Wisconsin, going to be joining us at 10:33 to talk about rural hospitals in particular and why they are struggling and why they have been closing. And if it is, as J.D. Vance said when he was in Eau Claire this week, that it's all because of immigrants. And illegal immigrants. And I'm fairly certain Dr. Lyerly has some firsthand experience at working in hospitals.
Very much so.
And
in the rural area.
In the rural areas. So she's going to join us at 10:33 to talk again about the state of our hospitals and why so many of them seem to be struggling. Right now, though, continuing our money talk. The Fed yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a long time. The Federal Reserve cut its target interest rate yesterday by half a percentage point, and they're projecting more rate cuts this year and next, trying to put brakes on the economy to fight it as the efforts to put brakes on the economy to fight inflation finally come to a close.
Yes, because inflation is at 2.5%.
Compared to the global of, I believe, 5.6%.
I believe so.
Or maybe even, I think it's even higher. I think it's 5.9%.
Somebody sent us, it was like, I think it was Andrew from Maine sent us some numbers. So if you want to send us those numbers again. That's our research department. Andrew from Maine is our research department. But yeah.
Keep working for us for free.
I'll say that it's more than double the, it's less than half
the global.
More than half.
Yeah, the global inflation rates.
Correct. Yeah.
So, yeah, we've been moving in the right direction. Of course, it didn't take long for the screeching to begin about Jerome Powell, who's the head of the Fed, is just doing this to make it easier for Kamala Harris to get elected. No.
Shake your fist at the clouds, old man.
I mean, if that's the way it worked, then he could have done this right after that disastrous debate between President Biden and Donald Trump. To try and boost him then, he didn't.
He could have done it at the midterms in 2022 to help get more Democrats elected. No, he didn't. I know that because I bought a house and my interest rate was fine, but it wasn't where I wanted it to be. So, yeah, it's just, once again, just shaking fists at the clouds.
Well, and it got mentioned during a rally, I think, yesterday, and the crowd booed. The Fed just cut interest rates by a half percentage point. The crowd started booing.
Because they know that's bad.
Why? It's good.
No. They know it's bad for them.
Oh.
That's what I mean. Because you know who really thought it was good and continue today to think it's good? The stock market.
Yeah, they seem to like this news.
It the stock market closed yesterday about 41.5. It's at, currently at 41.9. It's 500 points up today. There, unfortunately, not all stocks, Jane.
Oh, really?
Not all stocks.
Not all stocks rise.
Have been enjoying this wonderful news of the Fed cutting cutting interest rates because we've worked on inflation. Maybe because we had an Inflation Reduction Act and that been investing. And
might have helped. And we're building the economy. Middle out.
Almost 16 million jobs. Hmm. And just unemployment really, really low. And I know there's people listening right now saying, you're wrong. Fine. I'm not. But point is, there is a company, Jane Calvin. I don't know if you both knew this. They're a startup. Young company.
Yeah, newer.
I'm surprised you're even on the stock market right now. But it's the TMTGC, or it stands for the Trump Media and Technology Group Corporation. They opened strong.
Did they?
In January.
Oh, what did they open at when they opened?
They opened at about, you know, they're about 50. There you go. That's not even they peaked at 66.70.22 in March. And since July of this year, they have.
It's done nothing but fall.
Fall.
So
steadily.
At its peak.
Like a slow, boring roller coaster.
Truth Social, essentially, and Donald Trump's media company.
Yes.
So they peaked at like 67. Where are they at today?
Well, I was going to report it was 14.96. Mm. It is at a whopping robust 15.02.
Oh, well, it came up a little bit.
Yeah. And you made a comment about this before the show started. You believe that if Trump wins, this stock will start to rise. And I don't disagree with that, but I think two things are going to happen. The stock will rise. I don't think it's going to hit where it ever thought it was going to be. I think it'll probably go back in the 40s or 50s, maybe even 60s. And then you'll see people selling it off because this stock has been nothing but inconsistent and
very
not
volatile.
Worth its value. I mean, sorry, this is objective. I'm not an economist. I'm just looking at these numbers right now. This is not a stock worth investing in, not even the long term. So if he wins and it goes up, you will see people dumping their stock, including him, I'll bet you.
Well, and just think about the people who bought at 65.
Yeah.
You know, even if it goes back up to 40.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Sell, sell, sell.
And banking on it going up. Well, I guess all stocks are a risk.
Oh, yes.
They
absolutely.
It's not guaranteed. They go up, they go down.
But with stock marketing, most people are doing their research on it, but this is a stock people definitely bought in the moment because, I mean, his NFT, his shoes, his Bibles, they sell out because people need them. So, of course, individuals decided they were going to become bull and bear experts and buy a bunch of the stock, I'm sure, and this is what they're getting for it. It's currently at $15 a share.
And I have seen some things on my Twitter feed, whether or not this is legitimate or not, because anybody, of course, everything on the internet is true.
We're going to get to that, too.
But the claim that, you know, this one guy said, I invested $150,000. I invested my retirement in this. And now it's gone. Most of it's gone.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know who.
It's sad. It's sad to me.
And that's what I'm talking about is that, like, you know, if you want to get in the stock market, there are some people out there who are blessed with the mind who can just do this research. But if you're going to do stock markets, talk to an expert.
Absolutely.
Get someone to help you. Pay that little bit of that money to help them. Andrew Romain, worldwide rates 5.9%.
Inflation.
Europe is 3.4%. North America, 3%. U.S., 2.5%. That is the rates of inflation here.
Thank you for being the research arm of Matt Nair on Air, Andrew and Maine. We really appreciate it. Stay with
Checks
us.
Checks in the mail.
News is coming up next. Dr. Kristen Lierley will be here when we return. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. ABC News. I'm Richard Cantu. Investigators in Southeast Kentucky say there was an argument between a judge in Whitesburg and the county sheriff before they say the sheriff shot the judge dead.
Letcher County, Kentucky Sheriff Sean Steins, who is known as Mickey Steins, is now under arrest. The county sheriff is accused of shooting and killing District Court Judge Kevin Mullins in his court chambers during an argument. Mullins had reportedly been involved in at least one case in which claims were made against Steins and his sheriff's department. Judge Mullins died in his chambers. Sheriff Steins is now charged with first-degree murder. Alex Stone, ABC News.
76-year-old Panos Anastasiou in custody in Anchorage after a federal grand jury indicted him on charges of sending graphic threats to hurt and kill six sitting Supreme Court justices. Officials in Pawnee, Oklahoma say at least one person was killed when late summer severe weather hit. Lots of damage reported. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Department of Justice says Wisconsin has been included in the most recent wave of school threats. Over the last few days, there have been threats in Toma, in Brilliant, and other parts of the state. DOJ officials say when traced, sometimes these threats are coming all the way from other continents. Other times, there are actual students at these schools making the threats, even if they don't mean it. Authorities ask parents to talk to your kids about never threatening their classmates. And the Brewers are headed to the playoffs. They clinched the NL Central after the Cubs lost. Expectations were more muted going into the season, but now, manager Pat Murphy said they have an opportunity to do something special. This is the sixth time over the last seven seasons the Brewers earned a playoff berth. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Looking for a new show to binge that will make you laugh heading into the weekend? Here are some Emmy winners worth taking a look at. Hacks took home Best Comedy and brought Jean Smart the Emmy for Best Actress and Best Comedy Writing. All three seasons are available on Max. If it's a drama you want, Shogun won 18 Emmys, including Best Actor, Actress, and Best Drama. There is a season two in the works. Happy viewing. Lady Gaga is having a very good year. The singer-actress plays opposite Joaquin Phoenix in Joker Folie à Deux. She had a chart topper with Bruno Mars and has a studio album coming out in October. She recently appeared on the podcast What's Next? The Future with Bill Gates and addressed rumors that people said she was a man early in her career. Gaga said when dealing with misinformation, her attitude is, I'm used to it, I'm a performer, and I think it's kind of funny. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some showers and storms in the overnight. Temperatures dropping to the mid-60s by daybreak. Our winds will be light out of the south. On your Friday, some early morning showers and storms, then eventually sunny skies developing. Highs in the upper 70s to lower 80s. It's 66 at our studios.
Are you ready to start a meaningful career in healthcare? Are you looking for a job that fits your work-life balance? Become a certified direct care professional today and make life better for older adults or people with a disability. WISC Caregiver Careers makes it easy. With free online training plus earn a $500 bonus. See your name on Wisconsin's Certified Direct Care Registry. Sign up today at WISCCaregiverCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
The Todd Alba Show.
Troy, our grand prize winner from that Just a Bit Outside the Movie Text to Win contest out in beautiful Mount Horeb.
You got to go see this movie. You know, you'll laugh, you'll cry. I know that sounds cliche, but it's true.
It is.
The no narrator was perfect for this movie, and that's what made the movie. Yeah. Seeing the players in their own words telling these stories.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, the lovable producer Conrad is being vague about his plans on his night off. But I will be joined by the awesomely talented Amanda Nimmer. And Terry Barr swings by on a bar band Friday night.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Summer night, feel like
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio in sunny downtown Waukesha, Wisconsin. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. Same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Just a reminder, right after the 11 o'clock news, we will continue our Go for the Green or Gold statewide text to win contest. We'll give you a word that you want to text in via the Civic Media app, and you can pick up either $100 in cash or some very stylish gold jewelry. And everyone in the running for a pair of indoor club-level tickets to see the Green and Gold in Green Bay Monday, December 23rd against New Orleans. You can listen for those keywords at 7 a.m. to 11 a.m., 1 p.m. with Todd, and then 4 p.m. with Dom Salvia. Go for the Green or Gold statewide text to win contest coming up at 10:33. Really excited to have our next guest join us, a friend and colleague, and also running for the 8th Congressional District in Wisconsin. Dr. Kristen Lierley is here. Good morning, Dr. Lierley. How are you?
Good morning, my friends. I'm going to text to win because I don't have season tickets at Lambeau. So, I mean, club level seats, those are nice.
Go for it. Go for it. Yep. You're not an employee of Civic Media, so you can play the contest. Not a problem.
And you can take friends.
You can take friends.
Oh, and I know exactly where to find you. Yes. Noted.
Well, we were talking about this yesterday when J.D. Vance was in Eau Claire, talking about the hospital closures in Western Wisconsin. And Calvin, I believe we still have that clip. Let's take a listen. I'll give 1 second. J.D. Vance, yep, in Eau Claire, blaming everything again on immigrants. And immigrants are overwhelming our hospitals, and immigrants are overwhelming your emergency rooms. And that's pretty much going to be the trope now for the next, 48 days we have. They're going to blame everything on the immigrant community, unfortunately.
Because it's easy.
But they don't call them immigrants. They call them illegals.
Yeah.
And I think that is just so disgusting, especially for a leader. I mean, we're talking about human beings here. And to call them illegals so just so off the cuff, like, no, these are people who are here in this country. And, you know, I'll talk about this after we listen to the clip, but these are people who are here in this country doing the work that we need them to do.
Yes.
That they are contributing. Like, we need these people. Anyway, play the clip.
We're still looking for it. Calvin's on it. But essentially, J.D. Vance, he blames the closure of those hospitals in Western Wisconsin because of immigration. And when he was asked about what a second Trump term would do to address these hospital closures, Vance said that these facilities like the ones in the Eau Claire area shut their doors because they're bearing the burden of providing health care to millions of people who shouldn't be in this country to begin with. Now, Dr. Lierley, you work in hospitals. You work in rural Wisconsin hospitals. There are all kinds of people, from what I understand, who have to use the emergency room because they don't have health insurance. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I mean, I actually work in rural Minnesota hospitals because, you know, I'm on the 1849 criminal abortion ban case in Wisconsin, and it's just a bad environment for doctors in Wisconsin. So while we're trying to fix that in Wisconsin, I'm pitching in rural Minnesota, and I'm thinking about this place where I work in Western Minnesota, which is a huge farming community where there is an immigrant population, and these folks are legally here in the country working these really difficult farm jobs. And these are the people who I take care of. The community has embraced them, and they have actually made the hospital more prosperous. The hospital was losing volume. They weren't able they were struggling to stay afloat. And now that we've got all of these young people who are growing their families in a community where we need them in order to keep the community afloat, it is really inspiring to see how that's working. So it's the opposite of what J.D. Vance is saying. He doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm on the ground, and yep, I am telling you that what he is saying is not accurate.
Calvin's ready to go with that clip. Cal, let's take that for a spin, please.
James Kelly with Civic Media. Right now in the Chippewa Valley, we're facing a healthcare crisis with the abrupt closure of two hospitals earlier this year, as well as a number of clinics. I'm glad you mentioned providing actual concrete answers to questions. What concrete plans would your administration have to protect rural healthcare access?
So there are a couple things here. So first of all, This goes back to the immigration issue.
No, it doesn't.
And why does it go back to the immigration issue? Because a lot of our rural hospitals are bearing the burden of providing health care to millions of people who shouldn't be in this country to begin with. And so those hospitals go bankrupt, and then a lot of American citizens can't afford health care. Now, you might not think that rural health care access is an immigration issue. I guarantee it is an immigration issue, because we're bankrupting a lot of hospitals by forcing these hospitals to provide care for people who don't have the legal right to be in our country. We've got to stop that.
Where is the proof of this?
Where is his moral compass? Do you know why rural hospitals are going bankrupt? It's because of the way we fund rural hospitals. It's because of Medicare and how fundamentally broken it is. It is all part of our broken healthcare system in this country. And another thing that recently has become a giant issue is Medicare Advantage plans. These are private plans that take money out of Medicare and offer people fewer services and, frankly, are strangling our rural hospitals. So if we could just focus on problem solving, if we could focus on proper funding for Medicare services. Because remember, most of the folks who live in these rural areas are older.
Yeah.
They have a lot of touches with rural healthcare, with the hospitals and the providers there. So Medicare is their primary insurance. If we could fix Medicare, we would help rural hospitals. It has nothing to do with immigrants.
We've talked to people from Medicare about those Medicare Advantage plans. You want to be very, very careful. You want to be very, very careful if you're considering one of those Medicare Advantage plans.
If you have a question, the Better Business Bureau, they really have the what's up on those programs. They can give you
that's
a lot of information.
That's who we spoke with.
Yeah. Yeah. Carol, listening on WAUK, says it's human decency, a moral obligation to help sick people no matter where they are from. Anything else is inhuman. And and Jane, you asked the question, where did he get the proof on this issue as far as immigration affecting rural hospitals? He got the same place where he got his information about immigrants in Springfield, Ohio.
Yeah.
It's garbage.
Well, and what's really insulting, I think, and offensive, those Haitian immigrants are here legally. Mm-hmm. They're here under temporary protected status. That is a legal thing. That's a law.
Yeah.
So if you don't like it, fine, then, you know, do something and take that away. But don't tell me that they're not here legally, because they are. And J.D. Vance said, I'm going to keep calling them illegals.
Yeah,
I just am.
Yeah. Well, he also said that he is making up these stories to tell a point.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he yes.
Said, and he said that the media, it's the media's job to point out that he's wrong. And that's what the media did. The woman who started this whole thing was wrong. And she said she was wrong.
Oh, about the immigrants eating pets.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
And so the media did their job, J.D. Vance. They pointed out the wrong. Are you going to stop doing it? No, he's not. Great.
But his whole claim that if I have to make up stories to get the media to pay attention to something, then I'm going to do that. So he admitted that he's lied about these people, which has now resulted in, what, 36 bomb threats and school evacuations? And I can't imagine what life is like for people on the ground.
Yeah.
Not just immigrants in Springfield,
just
but
citizens.
All of the residents of Springfield. They have Proud Boys marching there now. They don't want them there.
Yeah.
Don't you wonder, like, how do you, when you perpetuate and propagate these lies, how do you live with yourself? You know, like people like us, I spend my days trying to take care of people. Whoever shows up in my office, Republican, Democrat, Independent, Black, White, Asian, I don't care. You come to me, you have a problem, I'm going to try to help you solve it. That's what our leaders should be doing. So to know that he is making up stories to intentionally divide us, intimidate us, force us to do things that we are not comfortable doing is so fundamentally wrong. He's going to find out the hard way in November, friends.
He's so unliked. It's really astonishing. His unfavorability numbers, I don't think anyone has ever... Rasputin had better favorability numbers than J.D. Vance. I mean...
Well, he had nice hair, Jane.
Well, Rasputin had some other grooming issues.
Yeah.
But Andrew from Maine says, Jane, J.D. Vance does not need proof. He will continue to make up stories as long as the media exists. Then you're absolutely right, Andrew, and he said it out loud now. I don't care. I don't care if it's a lie. I just want I just want you to repeat my lie and then look at the... It's all about demonizing the other.
Yeah.
This all goes back to dividing people, dividing Americans, otherizing someone to blame for everything. Cindy from Appleton is on the line. Good morning, Cindy. Thanks for joining us. What did you want to say?
Well, this is another broken system, and that's what they're, you know, they're blaming the hospitals for another broken system. But I was on a Zoom call with the Tommy Thompson Center a couple of nights ago with a professor, I can't remember his name, from Harvard. And he did talk some about democracy and about the Electoral College. And he said that Donald Trump and Vance are probably, or most likely, going to win the electoral vote because it's skewed towards Republicans. So, unfortunately, I think we are going to have to start bracing ourselves and preparing ourselves for what's going to happen when that happens.
Well, oh, he can certainly win. Cindy, you're absolutely right. Donald Trump can absolutely win the election. Nothing is sewn up by any stretch of the imagination. As Kamala Harris has said numerous times, she's the underdog. Her campaign is the underdog.
Yeah, and they run like that, too. And they run with an energy that they want to win. And Cindy, I don't disagree that that can be the outcome, but I refuse to believe that that's just a foregone conclusion.
Well, and I still maintain, and I have no basis for this other than a few interactions I've had at the Waukesha Farmers Market, where women will come up to me and kind of as an aside and very quietly say, I love your show. I love your network. Thank you for doing what you do. And I'm not sure, but I get the feeling that they may not necessarily be in a Matt Nair on-air friendly household, and they will vote the way they want to vote, even if they have to lie to their household.
Yeah.
I think there are more of those people out there.
I see that all the time. And Cindy, you are in my district. You are my home girl, my Outagamie County gal. You know, it's rough up in the 8th Congressional District, and people think that that is a red district. But the more conversations I have with people, we were in Western Outagamie in New London just the other night. I had to zoom in because I'm working in the hospital in Minnesota, but I zoomed in. Emily Cephos was there. She's running for assembly up in that region. There were so many people there asking so many good, important questions. There are Dems in places where we did not know we had Dems, and they are finding their voices because they know what the consequences are. So it's okay for us to feel like Donald Trump could win, because that keeps us fighting and working together and visioning what we need to see. We can do this.
But it involves door knocking. Mm-hmm. It involves phone banking. It involves talking to your friends, make sure they're registered. We harp about this all the time, and we're going to keep doing it. Go to myvote.wi.gov. Make sure you're registered. Continue to check your registration. Talk to your friends about getting registered. And you don't have to tell them how to vote. I certainly know how I would like everyone to vote, but I'm not going to tell you how to vote. But vote. Get involved in the process, because if you don't, then I don't want to hear you gripe about anything.
Oh, hey, Jane, we're taking volunteers for our campaign. Help us flip the 8th. KristenForWisconsin.com. Postcards, door knocking, phone calls, text banking. You want to just get out and talk to people? We've got the way for you to do it. So come and check us out. Let's flip this district and make sure Wisconsin stays blue.
Cindy, are you listening? Are you going to volunteer? Because
come on, girl.
It's not a foregone conclusion, and there's still work to be done, and we can make a change. Come on, Cindy.
We can.
Come on.
This is a message for all of us.
All of us. Oh, yes, absolutely. But I want Cindy to be excited. That's what I want.
Dr. Kristen Lierley is our guest. She will be here when we return. Stay close. If you have a question, by the way, 855-752-4842. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on Air.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a quick tip for folks with any money or investments, big or small. That tip is, add a trusted contact to your bank or brokerage accounts. A trusted contact is the person that you authorize your bank or financial institution to contact in certain circumstances. You know, like if they can't reach you, or they suspect you might be sick, or if they see any signs of financial foul play. Trusted contacts do not have access to your money. They can only do things like help your bank reach you or confirm if you're having a health crisis. This isn't just my idea, by the way. The Securities and Exchange Commission and most banks and investment houses also recommend it. Extra safety that costs nothing to set up? Yeah, smart and free always works for me. For more money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
From the lakeshore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Safe communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you. And highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live.
Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Kamala Harris was so classy. What did you think of the debate? My friend and Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson.
As a woman of color, she ran a clinic on how to school a mediocre white man. And on the other end, you have Trump, who was angry and rattled and showed why he was unfit to be president.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, the Board Lord, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Join us, call, text, same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream. If you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin, Dr. Kristen Lierley is here. She is running for the 8th Congressional District in Wisconsin. It's to my right. I think of Western Wisconsin. We have the 3rd over there, and the 8th is over there.
I told Jane earlier, I always want to say that you're running for the 3rd, and Rebecca Cook's running for 8 because 8 is higher up, and that's more number. But that's not how
it
works.
That's not how it works. Kristen is running in the Green Bay, Fox Valley area, and you can always find her on the web. What is your official website, Dr. Lierley?
KristenForWisconsin.com, and I'm on all the socials at KristenForWisconsin as well.
Wonderful. We would like your opinion real quickly about something very silly. A listener, Jeff from Shorewood, was with a friend of his who just bought a 3D printer, and they were screwing around. And they came up with a mascot for Matinair on Air. Take a look at our mascot, Dr. Lierley.
Oh.
It's a mashup.
Like Jabba the Hutt.
It's Elon Musk's head on Jabba the Hutt's body. And so we're having a contest on what we should name our mascot. My personal favorite is Jabba the Musk. I kind of like that. Greg, however, has a different.
Elon the Hutt.
Elon the Hutt. We're open.
Musk the butt.
Musk. Ew.
That's in the running too. We're open to all suggestions.
Your voice hit a Musk the butt.
You can.
That's how you know I'm serious.
You can let us know what you think, and you can also vote if you go to our Twitter page, and you can cast your ballot on what we should call our new mascot, courtesy from Scott from Shorewood, and we will announce the very exciting results tomorrow. So
yes.
That's going to come up tomorrow.
Democracy at work.
Democracy at work. Dr. Lierley is here. We're talking about J.D. Vance's comments that the hospitals in Western Wisconsin closed because they were overwhelmed by immigrants, and that really isn't the case. Dr. Lierley, you work in rural hospitals in Minnesota, and it goes back to Medicare and just our whole broken healthcare system, right?
It's funding. And it's also, we don't have enough healthcare providers. That's another major reason that hospitals close. And, you know, in states like Wisconsin or Idaho or Arkansas, where it's hard to practice medicine because you are facing the potential for criminal prosecution for doing what you know is the best thing for your patients, people are leaving. So in Idaho, we've seen a quarter of all OBGYN doctors leave the state.
A quarter.
Women, moms, a quarter. They don't even have a high risk OB doctor in Idaho anymore. So women who are, they're stuck there, right? Their families are there, their jobs are there. It's hard for them to move. And now hospitals are shutting down in these rural areas in this stunningly beautiful state where people want to live because they've created this hostile environment. That is one other reason why hospitals are closing in rural areas. There's no lack of problems to solve here. And just pivoting and pointing your fingers at immigrants doesn't solve the problem.
It's so lazy. It's just lazy and disingenuous, and it's a lie. It's just a blatant lie and an effort, again, to let's get a group we can blame all our problems on. That's exactly what this is.
Because it's easy.
Because it's easy, and then you don't have to come up with any solutions.
Yeah,
the solution,
you know, it works. It works for them.
It does.
People hear him say that, and they want to, like you said before, Jane, we have this tendency to want to other. And so instead of thinking about it and having conversations about what this means in our communities and trying to actually focus on issues and values and solving the problems, we get distracted by this. So really, this is on us as people in communities to have these conversations. Don't be afraid. Have these conversations. And you don't have to be confrontational. It's, what do you mean by that? Tell me more about that. Help me understand where you're coming from. Respect each other. Honor each other's opinions, but don't be afraid to have the conversations.
Which is what you're doing when you're knocking on doors and you're meeting with your potential constituents, right?
Oh, yeah. It's what I do in the exam room all the time. We talk about touchy subjects all the time. You have to. That's how you get to a solution.
Have you had any women come over to sidle over to you and whisper at you, I really like your campaign. I hope you win. Just don't tell my husband that I told you that.
Yeah, all the time.
Really?
People come up to me at nearly every public appearance that I make and share some sort of personal story. I mean, I was at a Labor Day picnic and a woman approached me and told me about how she was brutally raped and how that changed the course of her life. I didn't even know who she was, but because I created that space, she felt comfortable talking to me about it. Women have talked to me about miscarriages. They've talked to me about their complicated reproductive health stories. One in four women in this country will have an abortion. Nearly half of all pregnancies end in miscarriage. Pregnancy is not the joyful event that we want to believe it is. It's complicated. It requires very personalized, individualized decision-making. And that's why the government can't make these decisions for you. You have to make your own personal healthcare decisions.
Absolutely. Alicia on the live stream says it's easier to place blame than to come up with solutions for the problems. You're absolutely right, Alicia. We're not going to let them get away with that. We're going to keep bringing the facts, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, we are. Alicia's a problem solver, too.
Good for her. And if J.D. Vance is going to keep calling them illegals, then I have some ideas for what we should keep calling J.D. Vance, but I can't say them right now. Anyway.
Oh, put them in the chat.
Dr. Kristen Lierley, we love having you here. Thank you so much for carving out some time for us. I imagine you have several things going on right now.
I got to go deliver a baby, but it's great hanging out with you guys.
Take care. We'll see you soon. News is coming up next. When we return, we will be going for the green and gold. So download the Civic Media app. You're going to need it. Keep it here. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We are live on location from Cheese Days in Monroe once again, also covering Vice President Harris's visit to Wisconsin. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
hey, you got this. Just breathe. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.